Well, please come back to the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 to 12. Now, the verses that we have in front of us this morning contain what I would describe as a bit of a landmine. If we were to handle this text wrongly, if we were just to rush through it and carelessly work our way through these verses, then we may trip and fall on our faces and make a real mess of things. Look at verse 10. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. That verse has too often been abused by prosperity gospel preachers who would say something like this: give your money to the church, give me your money, and God will pour out a blessing on you. He will make you amazingly rich if you give money to me. That is not what this text is saying. Please do not think that. And so as we come to these verses, with this landmine sitting right in the middle, we need to be careful. We must handle this with caution. But another thing to notice about these verses is that they're kind of like going into a small cafe in a remote village in the depths of Russia. And you order a cup of tea. Maybe Tetley or Typhoo or Twinings or whatever works for your taste buds. And the waitress kind of looks at you with a very blank stare. They probably don't have Tetley, Twinings or Typhoo. They may not even have tea. I don't know what they drink, hot drinks in Russia. And so she probably doesn't understand what you're even saying. There needs to be some sort of translation going on. You need to get out your Russian phrase book in order to be able to explain what you want. There needs to be some translation going on. You see, these verses, they take place in a different time. They take place in a completely different place. In biblical terms, they take place in a different covenant, where God relates to his people in a different way. And so if we're to understand what's going on here, we need to translate things a little bit to understand what they mean for us in a new covenant time, in our place, in our time in history. Now, remember, the book of Malachi is made up of six complaints, six arguments. Six times the people have grumbled against God, and six times God answers them in emphatic fashion. So far in this little series that I've been doing, we've seen them complaining that God's not loving. We've seen them complaining that God is not worthy of their worship. We've seen them complaining that God is not listening to them. We've seen them complaining that God is not just. He's not fair. And this morning we come to complaint number 5. And they say, God is too demanding. God is asking too much of us. And so as we look at this 5th complaint, we're going to see 3 things. I want us to see firstly the invite. Then we'll think about the question. And then we'll think thirdly about the test. The invite, the question, the test. And as we go through, let's bear in mind our cup of tea in a Russian cafe. We need to try and translate things to understand what they mean for us. So let's start with the invite. Look at verses 6 and 7. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. The invitation is very simple. Return to me. come back to me. From one generation to the next and to the next, God says, you have consistently turned your back on me. You have gone away from me. You have broken my laws. But the Lord says, I'm still willing to take you back. Return to me. And you see, God had a relationship with these people. The Israelites were his chosen people. They were his bride. And so now as this relationship, it has been falling apart, God says, I haven't changed. I am still here. I'm still the same God that brought you out of Egypt. I'm still the same God who called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm still a God of mercy. I'm still a God of grace. I'm still a God of patience. In this relationship between God and his people, it's not God who has walked away from the people. It's the people who have walked away from God. But now the Lord says, I'm still here. I still love you. I'm still waiting. And if you return to me, I will welcome you back home. This invitation is an unchanging invitation. We don't actually really need to do any translation of what it means here for what it means to us, because God is still inviting his people to return to him. He still says to us today, return to me. It's an unchanging invitation because God is an unchanging God. He doesn't say, I want you back today and then change his mind tomorrow. No, this invitation to return to God has been open ever since the day that humanity first walked out on God. And it is still open today. God was faithfully waiting for his people to return here. And he is faithfully waiting for us to return to him today. At the bottom of the invitation, the RSVP doesn't say reply by 1st of March. No, this invitation says RSVP before the end of time. So the question is, have you returned to him? Have you come back to God? Confessing that you have sinned, you have walked out on him. Recognizing that you did turn your back on God. You wanted nothing to do with God. This invitation to return to him is open today. And yes, it will remain open until the end of time, but you don't know when that will be. And to be honest, you don't know how long you've got left to reply. We don't know when the gates of heaven will be shut. We don't know how much longer we have alive to respond to this invitation. 2 Corinthians 6 says this, in a favorable time I listened to you. In a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Now is the day of salvation. The invitation is open today. We don't know about tomorrow. Respond to God's invite while there is still time. Let's think secondly then about the question. Look at verses 7-8. Return to me and I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. God has invited his people to come back to him. But now the question comes back, how, God? How do we do that? And it's at this point that we need to do a bit of translation, because the answer for them in their old covenant time will be different to us in our new covenant time. The answer to this question is different for them as it is to us. So notice the answer that they receive. Return to me and I'll return to you. How? Well, God says, stop robbing me. Stop taking what belongs to me. And they say, what do you mean? how have we robbed you, God? And the answer comes back, in your tithes and in your contributions. You see, in the relationship between God and his people in Malachi's day, God had promised to stay faithful to them and to be their God, to bless them, to protect them, as long as they stayed faithful to him. In this agreement with God and his people, they had to keep their end of the deal. They had to fulfill their side of the bargain. And part of that agreement was that they had to give the first 10% of their crops or their fruit or their income or whatever it was. The first 10% went to God. But these people had said, no thanks. I'll keep that 10%, thank you very much. 10% sounds like a lot. God, you're asking too much. God, you are being too demanding. These were the terms that they'd agreed with God. This was the deal that they'd signed up for. God had presented this deal to them on Mount Sinai, and they had said with great enthusiasm, count us in. Yeah, sign me up. And God says, okay then, if we're going to keep this relationship, you have to keep your end of the deal. We have to keep to the terms that we've agreed. That's fair, isn't it? Now, I have an agreement with my landlord. I pay him X amount of money each month, and in return, he lets us live in our flat. If I decide one day, you know what, that's a bit too much. I don't think I'm going to pay the whole lot of my rent. Landlord, you're being too demanding, and I keep it back to myself. Well, I've broken my side of the deal, and he is well within his rights to kick me out of the house, isn't he? If I don't keep my end, then he is not obliged to keep his end. John Calvin says this. I've paraphrased him slightly because he's quite old. He says, they cheated God in the tithes and first fruits. Not that any advantage is gained by him from their contributions, as he had no need of any such things. But we ought to keep the object or the purpose in view. It is because it was his will to be worshipped in this way. Why is God so concerned with the tithes and the contributions? Why is he so obsessed about how much money they give him? Doesn't God have enough already? That's not the point. God is not worried about his bank balance. It's not about the money. Instead, it's about doing things on God's terms. It's about keeping to the covenant. It was his will that he should be worshipped in this way. And they need to stick to the deal that they have made. So these people are saying, God, you're asking too much. He's being too demanding. 10% is too much. That was them. But what about us? How does this translate? He called them to pay the tithes. What does he ask of us? What are the demands on us in our covenant with God? I could have picked any number of verses, but just one. Romans 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. What does God demand of you? That you submit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That you crown him as the king of your life. And that you believe with all your heart that Jesus died on that cross to take the punishment that you deserved because of your sin. And that he rose back to life, victorious over death. Those are God's terms for us this morning. Believe and bow down. And if we're going to have a relationship with God, then we have to do this on God's terms, if we're going to have a relationship with him, if we're going to be rescued from our sin, then this is the only way that this can happen. There is no other way. We have all walked out on God. We've all rejected him. And so now the only way to come back to God, to return to him, is to come on his terms, the way that he demands of us. We have broken the deal. And if we are to find a way back into this relationship with God, it has to be on God's terms. There's no back door into the kingdom of heaven. There's no cutting corners. There's no discounted entry. No, if we are to have a relationship with God, it must be done God's way. Now, just to say, I don't think this passage is saying to us, you have to pay 10% of your money in order to be right with God. The tithe is not a part of the new covenant terms and conditions in fine print at the bottom. So there isn't a demand for the tithe, but that doesn't mean that the Bible doesn't have anything to say about money. And paying the tithe may not be required of us anymore in order to be right with God. But given how generous God has been to us, considering the fact that God sent his only son into this world to take our place and to die for us, seeing the generosity of our God, that should create a generosity in us, should it not? And submitting to Jesus as our king, that's one of the terms, believe and bow down. If we bow down to the Lord Jesus Christ, then that will have an effect on the way that we use our money. And so 10% may not be required of us anymore, but 10% seems like a pretty good starting point. No, he doesn't require the tithe anymore, but having been freely forgiven, having been adopted into God's family, having been given eternal life, having been given a new heart that loves to please God, maybe, Christian friends, we'll end up paying the tithe anyway. So the question goes out. How? How do we return to God? And the answer comes back by keeping your end of the covenant. For them, that meant paying the tithe, bringing in the contributions. For us, that means trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and submitting to his rule over our lives. Maybe, like these people, you're saying, God, that's too much. God, you're being too demanding. Submit to Jesus? But I want to live my life my way. And crown Jesus as my king? I want to be king. God, you're asking too much of me. Well, how do we even know that this is going to be worth our while? Let's think thirdly about the test. Maybe we'll find some answers in the test. Look at verses 10 to 12. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil. And your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. So God has invited the people to return to him. He has explained how they do that. And just in case they have any doubts about whether this is going to be worthwhile bringing in the tithe, God says, try me. Go on. Try me. Just see what happens if you pay the tithe. Put me to the test. And keep your end of the covenant and see what happens. For them in their time, this means pay the tithe, bring in the full 10% into the storehouses, and then just watch what happens. Watch me open the windows of heaven and pour out on you rain to restore your dry and barren land. Watch me. Keep the locusts and the parasites at bay so that none of your crops get eaten. Watch me bless the soil to the point where your grapevines are almost breaking under the weight of its harvest. If you think I'm being too demanding, says God, then put me to the test. Bring in the 10% and see if you still think I'm being too demanding when I fill your barn to the point of overflowing. Try tithing and see if you miss that 10%, says God. Oh, what's 10% going to be for you when next year I double your harvest? If they bring in the tithe, God will bring the blessing in abundance. You can see why this is appealing to the prosperity gospel preacher, can't you? And they say, pay the tithe. Give the church your money. And look, God says he will pay you back in abundance. God will make you rich if you bring your tithe to me. You know, the only person who experiences abundance when you pay the tithe to a preacher like that is them. Jesse Duplantis boasts of his collection of private jets. Kenneth Copeland boasts of a net worth of the hundreds of millions of dollars. Creflo Dollar boasts of his three multi-million dollar mansions. They say, I've got all of this stuff because God has opened the windows of heaven and poured down a blessing on me. No, it's not. It's because desperate people across the world have believed their lies and have opened their pockets to pay money to them. That is not the blessing of the Lord. I wonder if anyone's ever thought to point out to these prosperity gospel preachers, or if they've ever stopped to notice that when God says, I will open the windows of heaven for you, what God is pouring out on them isn't money, it's rain. If they want rain to be falling on them, fine. But they don't, do they? They just want money. God is saying, I will open the windows of heaven. I will pour down rain on you so that your fields will be full of the harvest. This is not a religious get-rich-quick scheme. This is not pay 10% to the church and God will give you a whole lot more. No. This is about covenant blessings and curses. This is about the deal that these people had with God. If these people keep their side of the covenant and they bring in the tithe, then God will keep his side of the covenant, and he will make sure that their land is rich with harvest. He will make sure that they are well provided for. He will make sure that their crops don't fail and get eaten by locusts. So how does this translate to us? What does this look like for us in New Covenant times? Because we don't really need God to open the windows of heaven and give us more rain, do we? We get plenty of rain as it is. Does the rain translate to money for us? No. But the basic principle still stands. You keep your end of the covenant, and God will keep his. God has promised that if you keep your end of the covenant and you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you repent of your sin, he will forgive you. God has promised that if you confess your sin, you take Jesus as your Lord, you crown him as your king, you believe that he died and rose back to life, then he will save you. Your end of the covenant is repent of your sin, submit to Christ as your king. God's end of the covenant is he'll forgive you. He will save you from the judgment. He will adopt you into his family. He will give you eternal life. And so God does say to us, go on, try me. Put me to the test. See whether or not I'm true to my word. Go on, just try me. Trust in Christ as your king. Crown him as the Lord of your life. And just watch what happens. Watch me open the windows of heaven and pour out on you, not rain, not money, but my spirit. Submit to the Lord Jesus Christ and see whether or not I will open the windows of heaven and pour out grace and mercy to the point of overflowing. I will open the windows of heaven and pour down on you a blessing until there is no more need. And the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In Christ we have a redemption through his blood, according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished, poured out upon us. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father, that you may have strength to understand, comprehend that the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Our God is not a stingy God. He's not holding back the blessing. He's not rationing out the blessings. No, when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we crown him as our King, he pours out in abundance his love on us. He doesn't want us leave us wanting more. He gives us enough grace for every trial and plenty more besides. The complaint goes up. God, you are being too demanding. 10% is too much. And God's answer comes back, try me. See if you still think it's too much when I fill your barns to bursting. Maybe this morning our complaint goes up. God, you are being too demanding. Submitting to Jesus, that's too much. I'm not willing to give everything to Christ. And God's answer comes back, try me. Put me to the test. See if you still think it's too much when I've poured out in abundance to the point where there is no more need. See if you still think it's too much to follow Christ with all your heart and with all your soul when he has given you forgiveness of sins, a clean conscience, a new heart, the Holy Spirit living in you, eternal life, a home in heaven, a place in God's family. See if you still think it's too much when you see how much God pours out on you. Jesus says it like this. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it. Whoever thinks that God is being too demanding, whoever holds back from keeping their end of the deal, they'll miss out. They will lose everything. But, says Jesus, whoever loses his life will keep it. Whoever submits themselves to Christ, whoever is willing to meet God's demands of them, whoever is willing to keep their end of the deal and give themselves over to Christ, they will gain everything. God has promised you the forgiveness of your sins, eternal life, if you would simply trust in Christ and submit to him. And so this morning, God says, try me. Put me to the test. See whether or not I'm true to my word. he's calling to you this morning and he says, return to me. Come back to me and I will return to you. Let's pray. Dear Lord our God, we thank you that as we see your relationship with these people, as we see that you're an unchanging God, you're a God who invites people to come back to him. You're a generous God who pours out blessings in abundance. As we see that you're a God who is true to his word, that you're a God who is faithful. Lord, we thank you that even though things do look so different to us, thank you that there are unchanging truths here. Thank you that you are still a God who invites us to come back to you. Thank you that you are still a faithful God. Thank you that you are still a God who pours out blessings in abundance. And so, Lord, we pray that for any of us who may have doubts this morning, for any of us who think perhaps the Christian life is asking too much, we pray that you would help us to try you, to put you to the test. And Lord, we pray that we would know the riches of your grace, that we would know that love that surpasses knowledge. Because we pray these things in our precious Saviour's name. Amen.